Company Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
No, it's not. No, it's a, we sent him away. We said to him, Warren, go and take some time. You need some time. So what we did was we got Kim Potgieter, who is a certified financial planner. She's a life planning director at Chartered Wealth Solutions. She is an author of a recent book, and she is joining us this evening, standing in for Warren, to talk about personal finance. And I promised I'd ask Pavlo this question because I knew what he would say, but I'll pretend that I asked him. And it is, you know, should you sell your retirement investments and cash in and take that money and put it into a business and grow your business and really grow your wealth? Kim Potgieter. And people say you should invest in yourself. Why would you invest in anything else if you're not prepared to invest in yourself? Argue the point, if you would. After all of that, she's hiding.
Hello, Bruce.
There we are. There we go. It's called the mute button, and it's a new invention. It only came in last week, but it's lovely to have you, Kim. You heard the intro. Argue the point.
So you want me to argue with who? We're just starting. I thought we could at least go into
it. No, start with a bang. Start with a bang. Come on.
So I heard when you were, you know, earlier as well, I was listening and I understood that I was going to have to go against what you were saying. And you know, my opinion, I have two sides to it, and I think it depends who you are. And I think that is the important part. I don't think, and when I do the planning for people, I like to take them into account. But if you think that you haven't had your own business all your life, and now when you get your retirement money, you're going to open up your own business, then I do worry. And even though you are your greatest asset, and you know that's what I talk about, I do believe that you need the business skills to take it. Because when you're at a certain age, and then you then go and invest all your money into a business, and if it doesn't work out, you're the one then that has nothing left.
And I think it's a fairly common aberration, and I'm going to call it an aberration because I do concur with you completely, actually, that people who haven't invested enough for their retirement go, okay, one, I've been pushed out of the workplace at 60. I'm going to live a lot longer than my grandparents did. I'm likely to anyway. And this money's not going to last. So I tell you what, I've always had the dream of running the coffee shop or running the takeaway or doing whatever it is. I'm going to go and buy myself a franchise because they've got systems and they've got things and they'll help me. And actually, it's easy. And I can still play golf 3 times a week because I put a manager in. Okay, here's my new life. Cash in the retirement savings as much as possible. Pay the necessary taxes and put the money into a growth asset, one that is going to do better than stock markets. And I think a lot of people get themselves into an awful lot of trouble that way.
So Bruce, I really always, when I'm working with somebody, I discourage them to do that. They don't have the experience. They haven't done it before. And they don't have the opportunity to make it back again. So for me, when you were in your early 20s and you did something like that, I totally encourage it. But when you're taking what you've got, this money that you've invested all these years, and you're taking such a big risk with it, I often don't encourage it. If you have surplus assets, and that's money, so I always look at it and I ring fence what your retirement pot is. And then if you happen to have surplus assets and you wanted to put that into that business in red or black, and it, you know, if it went, it went, then that's all right. But I always encourage people rather to ring fence their retirement assets first.
But we hear so many stories, don't we? And this is the, because we don't hear about the failures. Nobody wants to hear about failure. Nobody wants to hear sad stories about disaster and losses of, you know, generations of family wealth. We want to hear about, you know, people going gangbusters and starting great businesses. And maybe we need to be telling more of those stories, Kim, of people who prepare to tell them. And if you've got a tale that you'd like to share with us this evening of somebody in your family, or maybe you did it, and you can tell us what mistake you made. I mean, it's quite a downbeat sort of story to tell, but I think it's an important one that we can learn from. So please give us a shout on 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702, because it really is gambling on your 70-year-old self's well-being.
Bruce, I even see it with, let's not even go that you're in retirement. Let's go to many people that I've been working with lately that have got their own businesses. And, you know, I heard on your caller before, they've got their own businesses. They invest absolutely everything. Because the line that I get so often, especially from entrepreneurs, is, I'm going to put my money into the business because I can make the best returns. Nobody can make the kind of returns that I can make. So they put every last bit of money into it, their businesses. And then when you have a black swan event like we've had and potentially your business is no longer around, you have absolutely nothing to fall back on. And you've been living out of your business. You've been existing out of your business. So I'm always encouraging people to diversify. So even if you're good and you've got your own business and you're doing brilliantly, I'm still encouraging you to diversify.
It's so true. I was just chatting to a friend of mine the other day who very nearly gave up their job in February of 2020. They'd gone away on holiday and they'd really been thinking about the future and they were going, okay, fine. You know what? I'm in a lovely job. I love my job. But actually, my side hustle is what I want to grow and I want to do it. And I'm so good at that. And that is what I love doing. And they were within days and a little... just a niggle. I said, you know, this virus thing we're hearing about, let's just wait and see what happens because this one seems more serious than SARS and Ebola and all the others before it. And they were just saying to me how blooming grateful they were because their side hustle depended on people gathering and meeting and having fun together. And they would have been on the bare bones of their backside by now because they would not have got their old job back. And certainly very few people have been hiring over the last 18 months.
Exactly. And I mean, we don't want to live in fear. So again, I never encourage people to be doing work that they absolutely hate doing for this one day when they're going to do something that they enjoy doing. But what I do encourage is a parallel life. So when you want to start doing that other something, to be starting to do kind of on the side and doing it slowly so that it can take off without you going in and taking so much risk that then you've got nothing to fall back on. So even if you're an entrepreneur and you're really doing well, if you have other investments and something goes wrong, you can go back to those investments you've got potentially to help you get out of the situation you're in and live off that. Although what I have seen, you know, Bruce, during COVID is many people have had their own businesses that have now gone into their investments. They've absolutely used all their investments up. They haven't changed their expenses. They haven't changed the way they've been living. And now that it's been extended, they're coming out of it and they're saying to me, but now we've got no retirement assets left. We've got our business only and it hasn't even picked up the way we hoped it would have picked up.
And that's, I mean, and for so many people stuck in that trap, and I think it's a lot of people because, you know, it's been a tough 18 months and people haven't wanted to deny themselves or their families the things that they've been used to. And they've kind of figured we can hustle our way through this thing because, hey, it's going to end. It's going to end. Vaccines are going to come. People are sensible. We'll make smart choices. They'll get vaccines. It's going to happen within 2 years. and we keep kicking the ball down the road. And finally, people are truly going to start losing their homes. I mean, and many, many are, I'm sure.
And with that, I mean, another thing that I've seen is some people that I've worked with who had a whole lot of their businesses and then they had a properties. And their properties were going to be their retirement investments. And with the business not doing as well as it's been doing, they then decided that they needed to turn to their properties and sell their properties to fund their lifestyle. And they haven't been able to get the value out of their properties. So they've been having to sell their properties at quite a discounted rate. And then they turn to me and they say to me, you know, with doing that, that's now affected their whole retirement plan. And it becomes such a kind of a line in the sand. When do you take your money out of your investments or out of your properties to put into your business? And at which point do you stop and say, well, I maybe need to call it quits with my business? So like, how long do you just keep on going?
And nobody wants to do that because you kind of feel, you know, it's that real sense of FOMO. People are sort of stuck betwixt in between and it's a really tough environment. So let's say, okay, we know, we told you what you must not do. So Kim's going to tell us in the next couple of minutes what you should be doing. We're 18 months into a pandemic, 19, 20 months. We're into a pandemic. We don't know how long it lasts. Well, we don't know how many metamorphoses this flippant virus goes through. We don't know about the fourth wave or the fifth wave. We don't know whether somebody's, the world's going to have an epiphany and get properly vaccinated. And, there are lots of uncertainties. So how do you best position yourself, not only to survive whatever's left of this crisis until economies get underway? First Rand Chief Executive Alan Pullinger telling us things are actually going a lot better than it feels, which I find encouraging. But, you can't live on hope, as Kim was telling us just a moment ago. So personal financial advisor Kim Portgieter, she's an author on personal finance. She is a certified financial planner. More with her in a moment.
The Money Show.
Personal finance.
Many years now, we did a 1,000 Rand challenge, and different people on The Money Show came and made their contributions, and Tsekho Modisani lost all the money and then got some money and then gave it back to us. But we and Pavlo made a huge profit and set up Kirsty Bissett, who then set up her own digital agency, which was remarkable. My favorite side hustle from that series was Warren Ingram's mother-in-law, who has Italian extraction, and she was retired, had some time on her hands. And Warren said to her, take this 1,000 Rand, and why don't you use that as input costs for the lovely Italian meals that you make? Make them, freeze them. Next time you come up to Joburg, bring a cold box and we'll distribute that to our network of people. And so she sold her first lot. Then she sold the second lot. And the next thing, I think she was kept occupied for about 4 or 5 years like this. Not on a full-time basis, but a couple of grand a month, was doing rather nicely, generating some extra income. And it started a little trend and a little revolution in that household. And that's what you're talking about here, Kim. It's a case of you may not have enough put away. Then learn to live within your means as much as possible and find ways to generate additional income, but not depending on that retirement income. And I think that is the most important lesson that we're going to draw out of tonight.
Very much so. I mean, if you can be earning, just, it doesn't mean that you have to be earning what you were earning before, but if you can be subsidizing yourself through, I mean, I know tonight you've been talking a bit about the side hustles. If you can subsidize yourself through work that you do, whether it's consulting, whether it's like Warren's mother-in-law with the cooking, I've got other people who've opened beauty businesses. But if you can be supplementing your income coming from your investments, it just helps your money last that much longer. I mean, I know we talk about this all the time, but for many people, they're going to be living way up to 100, and it's really important that they're having this other form of income coming in. But I mean, also for me, importantly on this topic, is to have a plan so that you know. I find so many people come into just this kind of conversation that we're having, but they've got no idea of what they've got and what they're going to need. So they start making quite emotional decisions right in the beginning, sometimes out of fear. And those emotional decisions, they pay for later. So it's really good to work with somebody, and I know I always promote certified financial planners, but that's somebody who's objective, that can sit with you when you are being emotional and potentially you're going to make a wrong decision, to help you make a better decision.
Frankly, Kim, I don't know how else to do it. There are very few people who can go out and read the books and then apply the knowledge for themselves and remove the emotion, because it is emotional. And I mean, even if you go and you have the sounding board of a financial planner and you want to argue till you're blue in the face, and your financial planner may be a good and patient person who listens to you and then is able to calm your ardor, just to say, I'm going to put everything in crypto, I need to make money, or whatever the case might be. But you really do need that objectivity that cannot exist, particularly if you are under financial pressure. I'm sorry, it's just not, it's we're not built that way as human beings.
Well, we know we make all our worst decisions when we are emotional. So at any time that potentially your business is failing, your marriage is failing, or something is really hard in your life and you try and make these kind of decisions, it's when we really make bad ones. So I always say to people, why not, when things are going well, and I really do believe that in your life, when things are going well, that is the time that you do the research to find that support group, those support people that can be there, so that you've got that objective sounding board that you're talking about. And no good going and finding them when you're emotional, because you can't hear. You can't even listen because you're trying to do things to get yourself out of the trouble. And that's when you do ridiculous things that then put your what you have got at probably more risk.
Tell us some horror stories. Tell us some stories, Kim, of what the sorts of things that people have come to see you. They should have come to see you last year when they were at risk of making the decision, but, you know, they knew better, or they knew that you tell them no. So they went and did their own thing, and they've now come to you and say, Kim, I'm in trouble, big trouble, fix it. And, you know, sometimes you can, and sometimes I'm sure you can't.
Yes, and I mean, the biggest thing is that I normally have to tell people they need to work longer. So many times what happens, and what's happened to me quite a few times now through this period, is people didn't come in the beginning and they started funding everything on debt. So as things were getting harder, they just took more and more debt, and then they took more and more debt, but they didn't cut their expenses. And it was what you were mentioning earlier. They thought it was going to be over quicker. You know, also our egos are quite big normally, and we say, we'll sort this out, we'll get through this. And we try and be optimistic about it, but we don't change our spending and we don't have that alternative. And then, yes, they do come and see me when they're actually at a stage where they're saying, well, my debt's so high now, now we're in a really bad place. So for me, it is to really have that conversation before it happens. And, you know, you were talking around that starting of a business. And I've seen it way too many times when people really have this idealistic dream of what they're going to do. And you talk about how they're going to have a business and play golf 3 times a week. But generally, those businesses then start taking 5 and 6 days of their time. And as the business starts failing, they start pumping more and more money into it because they're actually getting into this panic stage. And then at the end, what happens is that they lose absolutely everything, including their homes. And unfortunately, Bruce, I do get to see those. So whenever I'm working with entrepreneurs, I'm always encouraging them to have other investments, because if they've got those other investments, they can always fall back on those at the same time. And it's not saying that they're not going to succeed. And I'm an entrepreneur myself. But I always know that I should be diversifying across everything, because that's what's going to help me to stay in business and be successful.
Yeah, but Kim, I mean, if I've got, you know, 2 million and I use 1 million, I'm going to grow half as fast as if I invested the 2 million. I know what I'm doing here, Kim. I know what I'm doing, Kim. Why are you trying to constrain me and restrain me? And I'm sure you have people who just ignore the advice. And some of them may succeed despite themselves. And then they say, I told you so. But I would guess that more often than not, though, people are back to you in a year's time saying, Kim, why didn't you force me? Why didn't you make me do it? Like, you know, kids in music lessons. You know, the 18-year-old kid says to their parent, why didn't you force me to do the music lessons? Well, we tried, but you weren't listening. And it's the same sort of mentality, I suspect.
So I've learned through my many years of planning with people is that you can never tell them what to do. They need to think that it's their idea. And that's where the hard part comes in. Because generally, as we're talking about tonight, when you are in that bad state, if you have done something wrong and made a wrong decision, you actually can't even hear properly because you're so emotional. So that's why I think I said it at the beginning. Put all this planning in and do all this work of having, if you've got your own business, a succession plan in place, actually other investments. You know, there's so many different elements that you should have in place. But when things are going all right, so that you're doing it when you're in a much better state to be making these kind of decisions, and you find the right people to be helping you to do it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Kim. See, no fighting. It was very pleasant. Kim Bordgieter, who is a personal financial expert. She is an author on personal finance. She is a certified financial planner, life planning director at Chartered Wealth Solutions.